All right, we are going to continue on with our Jesus Dojo series. Dojo is a Japanese place of practice, and so Jesus Dojo essentially is just an exercise in practicing our faith. Again, church is not a place where, but it is a people who do the things that Jesus did. And so what we see this in the New Testament, that the early believers go and practice their faith. And so we've chosen several different practices that we get to do throughout the week, and then we come back and we get to share how that went. Again, we're just attempting to do these practices. We're not trying to get it right, but we're attempting to practice. So last week, James did a great job on talking about silence and solitude. And so then the opportunity is for all of us to practice silence and solitude. So how did that go, practicing silence and solitude through the week? Anyone have any examples of that? No one was silent or practiced solitude. It was a busy week, huh? Yeah, go ahead, Callie. Uh-huh, yeah. 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 Okay. Excellent. So being silent in the car. Yeah, Todd. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Excellent. Anyone else practice silence and solitude this week and want to share? Busy week for everybody. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, that sounds excellent. Yeah, that's good. Michael. Yeah. 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 Excellent. Okay, good job. Well, this week, the practice that we are going to be diving into is somewhat similar, and it's going to be rest. We're going to practice resting, which when you look at this picture, I was thinking about this. This is not as easy as it seems. We look at this and we're like, yes, rest, that sounds so good. But actually, rest can be really difficult, but it's something I believe that we need to prioritize. So I was talking with Sienna, this daughter, and she's at UC Davis. And since going to UC Davis, she has essentially just kind of like found her own faith. She joined up with a club there called Davis Christian Fellowship, and her faith has just grown so much. And so now she's leading a small group of nothing but, I think, all female freshmen. And they had like 20-something freshman girls in their small group. And they went on a retreat this last weekend or the weekend before. And it was really busy for her. And so now that she's starting to do some leadership stuff in a small group, people are coming to her with, you know, different issues. And so we were talking on the phone, and she was telling me about this one student that's wrestling with various things, and how might I deal with that, and what does this mean, both from like a therapy perspective and also then just in terms of following Christ perspective. And so we were talking about this. This is amazing for me. You think that you get a phone call from your daughter who is now leading a small group and is helping to pastor young women in their faith. I mean, this is like when they're teenage girls living at home, you're like, this is never going to happen. And then later on, you're like, I can't believe this is happening. So she's telling me all of this. And in the middle of our conversation, I said, hey, I gotta go. She said, okay, Dad, love you, because I was looking at the clock. And so we hung up the phone, and the appointment that I had that was so important that I could not miss was I needed to go take a nap. Then in the midst of all this wonderful news, all this cool things that's happening in my daughter's life, I'm like, you know what? I need to prioritize resting in my life. I literally need to take a nap. I gotta go. So I don't know that I cut it short, but I did. Here's the thing. Life doesn't stop. It truly doesn't. The things of life don't stop, which means that we need to pause. We need to take breaks in our life. We need to prioritize rest. So there's a couple of assumptions that I have for all of us, is that one, you would appreciate more rest in your life. That's an assumption that I have of all of us. And that two, you feel like there's not enough time to rest, or that life is too chaotic that you can't rest. I mean, for example, life not stopping. The elections are this Tuesday night. It's really kind of contentious. It's not even kind of contentious. It really is a contentious time. And I know that some of friends of mine are really kind of like getting all ramped up because it's, you know, election time. I would say that my heart is at rest in terms of elections. There are other topics, folks, that you could talk to me about to where my heart is not at rest. That's why I picked this one, because it makes me look a little bit better. But my heart is at rest in terms of at least, you know, the elections, because regardless of who wins or what happens, I know that God hasn't changed and that God is in control. I know that in terms of the elections. Again, there are other topics. And two, I'm always thankful to be able to share this pie graph in which I created at one point in time. This is the early church, or the amount of people that belonged in the early church. I placed it about 5,000, and I'm not sure what I put for Rome, probably a couple million. And so I think, like, man, if they could have survived that time in their life, regardless of who wins, man, we'll be perfectly fine. We are doing so much better. This is literally like the amount of people that were in the early church compared with Rome in terms of like a pie graph. They made it. We'll be fine. Okay? So we're going to look at one chunk of scripture today, which is Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 through 27. Again, it's Matthew 8, verses 14 through 27. It starts out with Jesus heals many. When Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in a bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on him. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with the word and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases. The cost of following Jesus. When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. Then a teacher of the law came to him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Another disciple said to him, Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus told him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." And then Jesus calms the storm. Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Suddenly, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us! We're going to drown!" He replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. So this is three scenes from Jesus' life. One, Jesus heals many. Then the cost of following Jesus. And then Jesus calms the storm. And so in two of these little snippets or scenes, what we see is two of them is the divinity of Christ, that he is God in the flesh. And that the first one is that Jesus heals many. And so Jesus is demonstrating the power of the kingdom of God over sickness. And then you would assume, if Jesus doing this, that many people would want to follow Jesus. But instead of making it easy, we see that the next one is titled The Cost of Following Jesus. And he even says, hey, you know, if you need to go back and bury your father, let the dead bury their own dead. Which is an interesting comment from Jesus. You're like, wow, that's pretty rough. And then after that, we see that Jesus calms the storm and then he demonstrates the power of the kingdom of God over nature. So how does this relate to rest? In the cost of following Jesus scripture, it says, when Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross over to the other side of the lake. So here he is healing people. He's sharing the kingdom of God. This is the work that Jesus was doing. So he's working. These are the things that he has brought here to do in part. And yet he wants to get away, which is really an amazing thing because I would say things go from amazing, at least in our eyes, if you think about it, that you're, if that was you, you're healing people and there's crowds out all around you and you're doing all of this work. I would assume that to most of us, we would categorize that as being successful. Wow, like I'm doing all this stuff and these crowds are getting huge. And so to us, we'd be like, wow, this is really kind of awesome. But then Jesus leaves. To him, he's like, I have to go. And what does he do when he leaves? He goes and he takes a nap. This is all kind of like a really weird chunk of scripture. Because I would assume if I was there, I would stay and be like, we got to keep going through the night. Keep bringing in all the sick people. Let the crowds grow. This is why I'm here. He's like, we got to go. And I'm going to go take a nap. Which seems really kind of wild. So again, I'm going to read verses 23 through 27. Then he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. He replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. So again, it's such an interesting piece of scripture because he has this ministry a lot of people, I think, in our day and age are aiming at, which is healing in big crowds, but he leaves and then he gets on a boat and they encounter storms and Jesus is taking a nap. And, I mean, ironically enough, just like you and me, when life is stormy, you say to yourself, this is a great time for a nap. That's what we all think. We're like, life is so crazy right now, I just need to go take a nap. No, generally what we do is we're frantic. We up the ante. We start working harder. We just get after it till that thing stops. But here's Jesus, literal metaphorical storm, and he's napping. So one of the things that I did in seminary, we took a class called Art and Theology. It was really phenomenal. It was really cool because I'd never thought about looking at art theologically. But there's a lot to get out of a picture when you're looking at it. So what we're going to do just for a little bit with a couple of different pictures, including this one, I just want to know to you when you look at this picture, like what hits you, what interests you about this picture? He's asleep while the waves are washing over him. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah, there's a light coming from Jesus. Yeah, he looks comfortable, huh? Right? I mean, how many of us, you're sleeping and you like pull a muscle in your neck? That's when you know you're getting older. You're like, what happened to your neck? You're like, I was sleeping last night. Here's Jesus, like sound asleep on wood, waves going up and down like this. What else stands out to you? Anything else? What's that? The waves are huge. Uh-huh. It's a big storm. Okay, another question. What emotions might you have if you're on the boat? What would you be feeling if you were on the boat with Jesus? Okay, so you'd be frustrated, okay, that he's sleeping, right? You're like, we're doing all the work and he's sleeping, so you're frustrated at Jesus. What else might you be feeling? Fear, yeah. Anxious, yeah, you'd be feeling some anxiety. Relief? How so? Yeah, okay, you could be feeling relief, like, okay, yeah. What other emotions? Confusion, yeah. I'd say disbelief, like what is going on here? Okay. Right. So when we look at this and we think about the storms of our life, is Jesus with you in your storms? You know, he's still with you. Then we can rest in him and take a nap. It's a funny idea. Is Jesus with you in the storms of your life? Yes. What would Jesus do? He would take a nap. What would Jesus do in a storm? He would take a nap. He would rest. Again, life doesn't stop, which means that we need to prioritize stopping and resting, which I know oftentimes can sound counterintuitive. Okay, what stands out to you in this picture? Separation of the clouds. Yeah, okay. Yeah, peace and tranquility. Yeah, the water's really glassy. Anybody else? What stands out to you? What's that? Oh, sorry, Connor. Anybody else? What stands out to you in this picture? Lightning in the background, okay. What's that? Yeah. It seems really big to me. The previous painting seemed very like up close, but this seems very broad and big and open, like something really big happened. What type of emotions might you have if you're on the boat in this moment? Relief, yeah. Nap time, now it's nap time. Gratitude, serenity, yeah. Crying and laughing at the same time, yeah, okay. Be kind of amazing, huh? Yeah. Yeah. Makes you feel small. Yeah. Okay. Again, life won't stop, which means that we need to stop, man. Jesus is with us in our storms. And when storms are happening, or at least in this scene, or storms in our life, again, what would Jesus do? Jesus would take a nap, which is really funny. My wife loves to send me funny sayings, and she sent me this. The secret to a successful marriage is to wake up and be the first one to say, I didn't sleep well. I don't know if anybody else does this. I don't know why. I think it's because my mom doesn't sleep well. And so she would always wake up in the morning and say, how'd you sleep? And say, like, oh, this is how I slept. And so Linda, it was a really, like, new thing for her when we got married, because I'd say, like, hey, honey, how'd you sleep? She's like, I never even thought about how I slept until I got married to you. And now, like, every morning I wake up and you're saying, like, how'd you sleep? I mean, it's a big deal in my mind. Like, how did I? We talked about it this morning. I mean, the funny thing is for me, and I don't know if you're like this or not, when I need sleep the most, it's oftentimes when I sleep the least. I'm stressed out. I'm frustrated. I'm trying to solve all of these things in my life. And I'm like, oh, man, I just need to sleep tonight. I just need to sleep tonight. And I can't get sleep. And to be honest, sometimes the loudest place on earth is when my head hits that pillow. And all the thoughts and things that I need to get done in my life, it's just so, so loud. My friend of mine told me, Mike Kearns, good friend, and he said that oftentimes when he would fall asleep, and he could fall asleep anywhere. I don't know if you guys have any friends like this that could fall asleep anywhere. You just see them, like, actually in planes, it always kind of trips me out. Like, even before takeoff, there's always this person, like, right next to me whose head is slouched over like this, and they're just passed out before the plane even takes off. I'm like, so let me get this straight. Like, you're already passed out in a very uncomfortable position, and we're about to take off in an airplane, and you're not going to wake up. It always just blows my mind. I don't know how they do it. But anyways, Mike Kearns was one of these people. He could just fall asleep, and he would sleep through the night, and it was, just seemed like a magical gift to me. And I said, dude, how do you do it? And I don't know if this was, like, really the answer. I think he could have done this before. But he said, you know, when I fall asleep or I'm just laying there, I just imagine Jesus just sitting there having his hands out and just asking me for everything that is consuming me. All the worries in my life, all the bills, all the things that I'm anxious about, I just imagine him standing there with his hands open just saying, like, give that to me. Give that to me. Like, I will take that from you. Give that to me. So I try and do that regularly. So to what degree are you willing to prioritize rest in your life? Now, I do know that most of us would say, I don't have time for rest, because there are so many things to get done. I was talking to another friend who was talking about this theologian that's written, like, just a gazillion books. And somebody asked him, how do you find time to write so much? And he said, I don't find time. I make time. That's what I have to do. I don't find time. We're not just going to find time. You're not going to run around and underneath one of these pews is just time to rest. You're not just going to go out and find it. You have to make it. So will you make time to rest? When I stop and rest, I acknowledge several things. First is, I don't need to control fill in the blank. I think that all of us believe that if we could control this or that or something else in our lives, that we would have rest. I also acknowledge that God will take care of me. You know, the funny thing is about following Christ, and this is something that has been true for me, maybe it's true for you, is I look in the past, I can see how God has taken care of me almost every step of the way. When I look into the future, I have anxiety that somehow God's not going to show up in some particular way in the future. But as I look back, I'm like, no, God has taken care of me, like, every step of the way, that God will take care of us. When we rest, we acknowledge that God has a plan and that we admit that God is trustworthy. This is what happens, I believe, when we rest. Another idea is that worship, these postures of worship, right? Like you can sit like this, arms open, whatever it is. I truly believe, this is my theological belief, that the best posture of worship that we can have is this. And I love hammocks, in case you were wondering. I think they're one of the best things on earth, truly. I truly do. I believe this is one of the ultimate posture of worship. Resting in the Lord, just laying down, sleeping, taking a nap with Him. Again, who has time to sleep? Who has time to go and get there? I guess I need to make time to do this today. I'm like, I got no time to do this today. Life doesn't stop. Okay, here are some of the things when I'm talking about life doesn't stop. Bills keep coming. Wars keep happening. People continue to annoy you. Emails keep arriving. People keep texting you. Dinner needs to be made every night. Kids need a ride. Dust keeps accumulating. Relationships need tending. Politicians keep exaggerating, not the one you voted for, but the other person, right? You're misunderstood. All of these things. Life just keeps happening nonstop. Life doesn't stop, which means that we need to stop. In the middle of the storm, resting your head, making time to worship God through resting. Like, God, you're in control. I have to do my job, right? Like, I go to work, I make money, I pay bills, I need to raise my children, all of these things. But acknowledging God's presence in our life. Because when you look at Jesus napping on the boat, he is acknowledging a couple things. Jesus feels safe in that moment. Jesus feels secure. Jesus believes that God is going to take care of him. His Father is going to take care of him. Can we make time in our lives to do that? Because here's the deal too. I doubt anyone else is going to find time for you to rest in your life. Like, I need to prioritize this. And last, and this is a very simple psychology lesson for all of you. You make better choices when you're rested. Straight up. That is the most simple psychology that you, any of us will be gifted with. When we're rested, we make better decisions. We are our better selves when we're rested. I don't know about you, but when I'm tired, I make poor decisions. I get angrier easier. I'm short with my wife. I'm short with my kids. I make really rash, quick judgment calls and oftentimes bad decisions. So when you're rested, you make better choices. So this week, this is the Jesus Dojo practice for all of us, is you are going to rest. You're going to prioritize some degree of rest in your life, to take a nap, to sleep in. I mean, I was trying to think, how do we do this? Take a nap. Sleep in. When you wake up in the morning, just be like, I'm going to sleep a little bit longer. Sleep as long as you possibly can in the morning. Prioritize some degree of rest in your life because I really believe that that is a form of worship. So hopefully this week you'd be like, huh, what did I learn today? I learned that this week I'm supposed to like take a nap for Jesus. That sounds good, right? I think that sounds really good. All right, we're going to take communion. We do this every week. These elements are the sign of the new covenant that we have with God. The crackers represent Jesus' body, and the wine represents his blood. His body, which was broken for us, and the blood that was poured out for our sins. So the way that we do this is that if you're a follower of Christ, or if you want to start following Christ today, you just come down the center aisle and you take a cracker, you dip it into the wine, and then you hold on to the elements, you go around the sides, And then once we all have the elements, we'll take it together. So if you'd like to take communion, please come forward. Jesus, we thank you that you're the way, the life, and the truth. We thank you that you've given us an example. We thank you that you've given us the example that our Father is always with us in the storms of our life, and that we can rest in you, like true rest, real rest. We thank you for your death on the cross. We thank you that you have conquered sin and death, and that, Lord, help us to rest in that and know that we will never taste death again because of what it is that you've done. We thank you and we love you. Let's partake. Well, why don't we stand? I'm going to pray a prayer blessing over us. If you want a prayer for anything after the service, a couple of folks down here would love to pray for you. If not, I'm just going to pray and then go out and take a nap. Well, Lord, we thank you for this time to be able to gather as your church. We thank you for the brothers and the sisters and the faith that we get to journey with. Lord, would you help us to be able to make time this week to rest in you, to enjoy you by napping or sleeping or just finding rest in whatever it is that we're doing. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would continue to guide us, continue to shape us, continue to make us into the people that God, just represent you no matter where we're at. Holy Spirit, we ask that you'd open our eyes and our ears to the opportunities that you have for us to represent you, Lord, to demonstrate the kingdom of God, to be able to share with people that I feel rested because I rest in Christ. Lord, continue to use us, guide us, and shape us to be more and more and more like your Son, Jesus. So we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.